Hi, everyone. I'm Tanzina Vega, and this is The Takeaway, broadcasting from WKSU Studios in Kent, Ohio, on the campus of Kent State University. And we'll be here today and tomorrow, and we're so glad you're with us. All week, we've been talking about the big business behind U.S. detention centers. Many of them are private companies who contract with the federal government. And today, we focus on Southwest Key Programs, a nonprofit organization that's the biggest provider of housing for migrant children in the U.S. Southwest Key made big profits off of the Trump administration's hardline immigration policies. But in December, the New York Times reported on financial mismanagement within the company. And this week, Southwest Key announced that Juan Sanchez, the group's longtime CEO, would be stepping down as a result of a subsequent investigation into the group's finances. But while Southwest Key was the biggest example of the enormous profits generated by housing migrants, immigrant detention is also a moneymaker for private contractors across multiple government agencies. Kim Barker is here, and she was part of the team that broke this story for the New York Times. And we also have Catherine Hawkins, an investigator at the Project on Government Oversight. Welcome to you both.
Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Kim, can you tell us what happened on Monday? How did we learn about Juan Sanchez stepping down from Southwest Key?
Well, I learned because somebody slipped me an email, but the rest of us learned because they put out a press release saying that the board had asked or had said that Juan was stepping down, and Juan also put out a statement about stepping down from the charity. And what's remarkable about this is a charity that he was very identified with. He started the charity himself out of his mother's home, actually, 32 years ago, and he's been at the helm ever since. So it's not like simply a transition of a company, one person stepping down and another person coming on. It's a huge deal for the nonprofit and in the industry in general.
And Kim, we had you on the show here on The Takeaway back in June to talk a little bit about this organization and Mr. Sanchez. Can you remind us who Juan Sanchez is and basically how he made Southwest Key what it is today?
Sure. Mr. Sanchez was born into a very working class, poor family in Brownsville near the border with Mexico. And he grew up, you know, sleeping on the floor of his two-bedroom house. He was the oldest son, you know, seven kids in the family. And he became the first in his family to actually go to college, and he made it all the way to Harvard. And he was always very interested in the idea of juvenile justice and keeping juveniles out of prisons and facilities. So he actually started Southwest Key about 32 years ago to focus on that, to focus on issues of juvenile justice. And then, you know, as the crisis grew and shrank with migrant children coming across the border, he was one of the first to get his charity involved in that. And it was a very haphazard system from the very beginning. And, you know, they just sort of grew and grew, and he became the biggest provider, and Southwest Key was the biggest provider. And it wasn't really until 2013 that he burst on the national scene because of what was happening nationally with the crisis. And that's really when everybody knew, learned about what was happening.
Catherine, I want to bring you in here for a second because I'm curious. We're seeing a lot of public-private partnerships, and here on The Takeaway, we've been reporting this week on this interaction of these two entities. When did the government start contracting out the care of migrant children to private companies and nonprofits like Southwest Key?
So it has been largely nonprofits, but as the number of migrant children increased, an increasing percentage of it went away from more traditional nonprofits like Catholic Charities and Lutheran Social Services, and to Southwest Key, which is technically a nonprofit, but operated a lot more like a for-profit company.
And how has the Trump administration's change in immigration policy basically changed this relationship?
The Trump administration, in addition to zero tolerance and family separation, which sent a lot more kids into the system, including younger children, they also made a change where that, in general, the Department of Health and Human Services tries to hold children in shelters as short a time as possible so they can be transferred to a sponsor, usually a family member. The Trump administration changed the rules for placement with family members so that information about the potential sponsor and, at one point last year, all of the adults living in the sponsor's household could be sent to ICE and they could arrest someone for being in the United States unlawfully. So this obviously had a major chilling effect on people applying to sponsor children, and so the amount of time children have spent in these shelters has gone up dramatically.
And Kim, I'm wondering, is Southwest Key still under investigation here? And if so, what's the status of that investigation?
I mean, you're never going to know about an investigation, right? That's always the line from the authorities. If we're investigating, we're not going to talk about the investigation. I know after the story that we did in December, we found out the Justice Department was investigating possible financial malfeasance at the organization. And from talking to people inside, they say that that's ongoing. There also was an internal investigation that was launched by Southwest Key after the story, and they hired an outside firm, a very reputable firm, to take a look at what was happening inside the charity. And it's not just Mr. Sanchez that has decided to step down. It's also the chief financial officer, Melody Chung, left last month. So there's real turmoil going on at the organization.
Catherine, even though there are different agencies for how the government deals with migrant adults and children, what do these institutions have in common, whether they're for-profit or non-profit, as you said, are the majority here?
I think one thing they have in common is that they're heavily privatized. Another thing that I think NPR has reported on is that when children hit their 18th birthday in detention at a shelter, they are actually put in handcuffs and sent to an adult detention facility run by ICE. There's also been, you know, problems with oversight and accountability in both systems.
Kim, what does Sanchez's departure here at Southwest Key, how will that impact, or will it impact, the amount of children who are still being detained by the government?
I don't know that it will affect that. There's a certain amount of children coming in, and there's only certain places that will take them. And, you know, Southwest Key has a huge infrastructure set up to do this. It's not like Juan was running an individual shelter or anything like that. And the interim CEO they have is from inside the company. I think that where we'll really see what happens is with this Justice Department investigation, and also with what the Southwest Key board decides to do. If they actually decide to bring in somebody from outside to run this charity, or if they decide to stick with somebody who's been there, you know, since the beginning of their career. I think that's, we'll see what happens when they make those decisions.
And Kim, is there a similar lack of oversight or financial malfeasance, if you will, with other nonprofit contractors in this space, or is Southwest Key unique here?
From my understanding, what's happened is that in 2013 and 2014, there was just such an explosion of unaccompanied migrant children coming over the border who needed places to go. And so the priority was finding places for them to go. And that's why Southwest Key really exploded during that time, setting up these huge shelters that were more like, you know, institutions for 300, 400. They set up one last year that can serve 1,400 kids, a former Walmart in Brownsville. And during this period of time, I think the priority was finding these places and getting food for these kids and sheltering these kids. It wasn't necessarily looking at the money. And I think that's now what the federal government is trying to do. In fact, they told us in November, as we were preparing to go to print with a story, that they were doing a forensic accounting review of all the different providers to see how they're spending their money. And in fact, one charity lost all of its funding about a year ago because of doing things very similar to what Southwest Key has done.
Kim, we were hearing stories almost on a weekly basis of what migrant children are dealing with, everything from potential for sexual abuse on up. Is the federal government even equipped to keep track of how these companies are doing business?
I mean, I think it's very difficult when you're contracting this job out, especially when kids are involved.
In terms of the landscape in the state of Texas, where a lot of this seems to be happening, if Southwest Key is in this mess that they're in right now, is there the potential for other companies to come in and take advantage of this as a business opportunity?
I mean, the one company, and this is a for-profit company that has already come into this space, is named CHS, and they're a Florida company. They run the very large Florida Influx Center. And they also took over three shelters in the Brownsville area already. So in the last year, they've really moved into the space. And they're the only, you know, provider I can see that has enough infrastructure to take over any shelter if Southwest Key were to have problems.
And how does that change the landscape? Because I think one of the things we're sort of seeing here are an increase in public and private partnerships. And is that something that you think could be a positive or not?
I mean, I don't know. No, There's been a reason, like, and I don't know if it's a moral or philosophical reason, that for decades it's only been charities in this space. And, you know, in the beginning it was largely religious charities that would run these really small homes, you know, maybe a group home for 40 kids or so. And now it's big business. So I think anytime you look at the privatization of these sort of centers, the idea that we're money making becomes the real driving force, that can be problematic. It can mean shortcuts. And that's what we, you know, that we've been looking at that with Southwest Key, being as they had operated so much more like a for-profit than a traditional charity.
Kim Barker is a reporter for The New York Times, and Catherine Hawkins is an investigator at the Project on Government Oversight. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks very much.
Thank you.
We reached out to the Department of Health and Human Services Administration for Children and Families, and in response, they said, quote, "This is an operational decision by Southwest Key Programs, and as such, the Office of Refugee Resettlement in HHS's Administration for Children and Families has no comment."